resolute in Krishna consciousness.
How come? What is Vyasayatmika Buddhi? Is it resolute faith?
Resolute faith, no? Resolute faith in Krishna consciousness, right?
No, I'm telling the wrong one.
Right?
I'm misguiding you.
Oh, actually.
It's a determination, right? Prabhupada says,
Definition is there in the purport, no? What is the definition?
What's special about that verse? Did anybody memorize that?
No, first, the definition.
Which verse
is it, Prabhu?
41.
Yeah, I memorized it. 41.
Strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to highest perfection of life is called Vyasa. Yeah.
So basically, this person is focused on Krishna, nothing else. He knows that this one will give him perfection. Just Krishna consciousness is enough. Not like, you know, I'll do Krishna consciousness, I'll do this worship, that worship.
What's special about this verse?
Prabhupada liked it and
followed it. Followed his guru's instruction.
So that's the second portion of this thing, right? Prabhupada very clearly takes shelter of the spiritual master, and Prabhupada took this as, you know, determination. He made up a determination that he will follow his spiritual master instruction, and that's what he did. That's why this verse is favorite for Eli. That gave him the resolute determination to follow his spiritual master's instruction. And what about Vedas? What's wrong with the Vedas? Not wrong with the Vedas, but the words of...
Purpose.
So what should be the final goal of the Vedas?
To know the Supreme Personality and go back to Him. Get liberation.
And which verse says that? We discussed some verse also, right? We gave a reference to that verse. 15. So basically Krishna himself is saying, right, in 1550, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So that's the end of Vedas. So if we don't come to that conclusion, then we are not really, we'll not be able to achieve the, we'll not be able to go back to Godhead. And in this it's saying that, when you get attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, they cannot develop the determination, they will never get. Because in this verse it says, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruity activities for elevation to heavenly planet. Result in good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. And text 44 was very important. Right?
So if you are bewildered by these things, then you will not be able to attain Krishna consciousness. You will not get devotional service.
What are those two things?
Boga,
Boga
Aishwari.
And Aishwarya. Aishwarya is?
Opulence.
And Boga?
Sense enjoyment.
Sense enjoyment particularly. So in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. And it's reality that, you know, all of us have some kind of, you know, we fall in these two categories, right? That's why we don't have that strong faith. But what's the advantage of following the process? So we know we both are, you know, all of us are trapped in these two categories. In some subtle way or, you know, gross way, we are all kind of entrapped now in these two things, enjoyment or material opulence. You know, we are chasing after material opulence, you know, accumulate things. But what happens to the, once you take up Krishna consciousness?
You gradually come out of that and get more focused.
How does that happen?
We are replacing the sense enjoyment with the service to Krishna, and then the enjoyment we get from.
So you are engaging all your senses, first of all, right? So once we have material body, that means, you know, always there will be reaction and actions and reactions. That's natural. But so even if you do good things, you'll get some reactions, and you have to come back to, right, that results. You have to come back. But in Krishna consciousness, when you use the same senses, but you will not get nishkamakarma. It's nishkamakarma, right? You will never get any reactions.
Correct.
So you will not accumulate anything. So when you go back, you are done. You will go back to God. That's the. And especially for us, it's through knowledge, right? We never knew a lot of things. Once we took up the process, we discuss, we get the knowledge. So it's always through knowledge. That's the starting process. We study, then you know, no, I should apply my senses like this. So it starts from the knowledge. So once we gain, okay? So it's not something blind following. That's what it's meant. If you have a knowledge, then you will have a strong faith or the foundation. So then you will not be shaken if somebody comes and tells something else, right? There are so many learned, Prabhupada says, you know, Bhagavad Sapta, right? They give a lot of people Bhagavad, but they don't follow a lot of regulative principles, all those things. They just give, they talk. Basically, they are professional reciters. So, those people, if you listen, then your faith, now because we are studying, discussing, we know what's the practical application of the knowledge. So when you hear something like that, right, because it's very common, you come across somebody like that. If you visit India, or you know, your family member visit, you know, we have a puja at our home, you know, you go there, then you'll try to hear all this. They will say 100 things. But because you know already, you have studied very clearly, and of course, if you like, you know, that intelligence, if you have that clear intelligence, then you can distinguish what is correct, you know, what is wrong, then you'll be fixed. Your foundation will never, you know. That's why foundation, Prabhupada always, you know, emphasizes that we should always have a strong foundation. You know, listening, attentive hearing, chanting. So once you have that strong practice of sadhana bhakti, nothing will be, you cannot be shaken actually. You can face a lot of it. You can go through difficult conditions, a lot of confusion, no? A lot of times, you know, you will come across, but you will be fixed. You know what to do. Like Arivilas Prabhu, right? The 100 people talk to Arivilas Prabhu. We are just one person, but there are 100 people comes with the problems. You can imagine how much, you know, he has to be clear, right? Mind, his intelligence should be very clear to guide anybody. So, but he, because he's practicing for so long, so he doesn't get affected. He knows what's the right thing, so he guides accordingly. For us, you know, if we listen to somebody's problem, we get pulled into that problem itself actually. Then you will be into that, and you will not be able to guide others and all. So, yeah. So just regularly, you know, sadhana bhakti is regulated devotional service. Just by, you know, following four regulative principles, chanting. So gradually, our, you know, whatever we have attachment for sense enjoyment or material opulence, it will gradually decrease. It will go away. The desires will be there, but the desires will be towards Krishna, to please Krishna. This right now we are mostly, you know, we are enjoying food, like, you know, for example, we eat something sweet or something for taste, example, for our tongue. Yeah, we like to, you know, eat and all. But at some point, you know, without offering or without, you know, we don't even touch. We just, you know, after offering we take. If you don't get it, you don't anchor for it. You just satisfied with what you have.
Another thing is, Prabhu is saying gradually it will happen, right? But another thing for us is like we should let go. Our part is also to let go. Okay, we know gradually it will happen. But at one point,
yeah,
we should be ready to give up. There is an example Prabhupada gives always, like there is a marriage party. They are trying to, you know, are they after marriage or before marriage? After marriage? Something, okay.
The
after marriage, they are trying to go across the sea or river to the other side. Or maybe, you know, boys' party is trying to meet the girls to the other side. So the boat is there, everybody is ready, you know, tomorrow we are going to reach for the marriage.
Yeah.
The whole night the person is rowing the boat, the driver.
Yeah.
Everybody is sleeping, okay, thinking that everything is going. They woke up in the morning, they're still there.
Same place.
Same place. Whole night is rowing, but they're still in the same place. Then they said, you know, what happened? Why it happened like this? Then they figured out that he didn't pull out the anchor.
Yeah. So it's anchor is a material attachment.
Yeah.
Unless
so we try chanting so much, you know, gradually it will happen. But we keep holding on.
Yeah, I read that.
Then, you know, it doesn't work.
It's like hamster.
It was very good example when I read it.
Hamster in circle, you know, it just
hamster wheel. Yeah.
Okay.
The example was saying like, even though let's say you're chanting, if you're doing too much chanting but you are attached, but you will just move like a boat.
Yeah.
With that anchor you can just move here and there. That's it, maximum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll not get
cannot
benefit
reach
out
anywhere.
So what does let go mean?
Let go means at one point when our, you know, when we are ready to, when it's proper, we should also make the effort to not invest more in that. Like for example, let's say I have an attachment for cars, right? Something. So gradually I'm engaged in Krishna consciousness, okay, sometime I forget. But suddenly one friend comes and then he starts like remembering, reminding me of that. Then my mind may say, you know, oh, let's go again. But then at that point, if we say, you know, with my intelligence, okay, done, I'm done with this. I'm not, basically we are not investing more in that.
So you're saying that voluntarily giving up some of the material attachment is also what is really required for you to progress a bit forward.
Yeah.
That
so
not
it's
that
not like a magic.
Everything should happen involuntary because I'm doing chanting.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not magic.
Okay.
It's our free will. With our free will, we have to make an active choice because that's how we show our love.
Yeah.
Because these tests will come. Essentially, you know, these friends will come and talk about movies, all those things. So then our free will, choice, everything, that's where, you know, every time we show Krishna that I choose you when compared to all these things.
See, good example is this is just our personal, you know, our parents came, right? Just now they came last week. So, and his father is a professor, he still teaches. So, he's a very active person. News, this, you know, he reads 3 newspapers, he reads, watches all Indie TV, business news, that, everything he watches. So, first we thought, so we got him TV because he otherwise news he cannot see anything. He told us actually, I want to send a small TV at least to watch news. Then he told, in India especially TV get, he put it in the hall, the main hall, right? He put it in the main hall. Then we told him, we have pictures, right? Prabhupada picture and all. And also altar is there, the small altar we have. So we told him, you know, we don't keep it in living room. So we'll put it in the room.
In their room.
In their room, wherever he says, we said we'll put it in the room so you can watch. Then I think he was a little bit grumbling, you know? Like just a little bit grumbling, you know, saying oh, why you have to sit in the hall?
TV is the altar, right? You know, it should be in the center. Yeah, the house.
No, really, TV is the main.
But
TV
now computer, everything is there in the computer.
Yeah, that's why I got the monitor. We got a big monitor. So we can use it as a monitor. We got a little bit, 30 inches or something monitor. So we put that on the in this room and all. Then, of course, one day or something, you know, oh, why we should sit in the hall and watch TV and all, something. Of course, not directly to me. He was telling to her or mom or something. So even, you know, so we made the choice. You know, we could have thought, you know, anyway they're going to be here for 3 months. Let's say buy a big TV and put it in the hall, like that. So we both decided that, you know, we'll not budge for that request. So something that, you know, so people may not like it, for especially friends and all, right? When you make that move, they may not like it. But gradually, because you're doing it for Krishna, Krishna will is happy. Krishna, if Krishna is happy, everybody will naturally everybody will be happy. And this friends or, you know, relatives, after some time they will realize why they did, you know, slowly, gradually. So So voluntarily taking some, you know, task or giving up or whatever, that's what Krishna likes. That's the choice everybody has to make. And it's not, again, you know, we're not doing it as a blind or anything. We have a knowledge and you're acting on the knowledge. So nothing, you know, you're not going to lose anything. You'll gain actually more than that, you know.
So also, how many of you know about 10 offenses? We, you know, ma'am. Right? You know. So one of, what is the offense related to this? One of the offense? Material attachment, yeah.
10th
offense. 10th offense is
to
maintain material attachment
even after understanding
so many
instructions
on this matter. So basically while chanting, the idea is that we are cultivating spiritual attachments and we are letting go material things. But despite chanting, if you keep on maintaining, it becomes an offense. Means the effect of the holy name will not be there. Holy name will think, oh, this person is calling me, but just in vain. But really is not doing anything, right? I mean, yeah, it's like just like the casually calling friend, kind of like that, without, you know, in proper
without
intention.
Love or
yeah.
But I have one question. When you are basing material attachment, we always talk about the non-living things. Like car, house, there is no soul in, but we have attachment with the persons, right? With the, it's a more strong attachment than the like
so
car.
You get the easier one done first.
Basically, there are gross attachments. You have gross attachments, and also, yeah, as you mentioned, but these attachments also, right now, they are in a material platform, like with wife or kid or something, right? They are mainly in material platform. Because it's like, oh, my child, my wife, right? It's all bodily platform. Gradually, we should change that into spiritual platform. In the sense, like, of course, we—that's a you know—we are also trying all those things. But you know, mainly, easy. The easiest way is just, just help them become more Krishna conscious. That's all. What at whatever level we are, like, let's say, kid, you're training something. You know, try to think how you can, you know, like, if he likes to watch movies, right? How you can maybe, you know, give him Krishna movies rather than something else. So just always thinking about, you know, how you can bring him closer to Krishna. So there you are recognizing the spiritual aspect of that person and you are helping them nourish the relationship with Krishna. So then that relationship is spiritual, no longer material.
Okay.
So that gradually purifies. Actually, I can relate one incident. So when I met first time, I was not married at that time. So we went to Vrindavan for the first time, me and I don't know how many of you know Divyadrishti Mataji. So she was also not married at that time. So we both went together and other families, they came with their families like that. And then the idea was, first from in US I landed in Delhi and directly I went there. So my parents, obviously, you know, they want to meet me and all. Then I told, you come here and we'll go back and train. So at least 2-3 days they stayed in Vrindavan. So then last day I introduced my parents to our spiritual master. And then after that, I told, like, you know, while going, I was saying goodbye. Oh, now I'm leaving. Yatra is over. I'm leaving. Then I was very proud and I was telling, like, you know, my parents are, you know, as if, like, you know, I'm very renounced. I was telling, I'm not attached, right? So I was telling, my dad is, you know, my parents are very attached to me. No, I feel like, you know, that may affect my Krishna consciousness or like that. As if, like, you know, I'm not attached, but they are attached. Then Maharaj said that perfection, attachment to a devotee is the perfection of attachment. So attachment is there, but if you are attached to a devotee, that is the real, that is, you know, spiritual attachment, that's the right way of attachment, that the right attachment. Because what happens if you are attached to a devotee?
You will get good qualities
also. Because you want to, you know, please them, right? And then somehow or the other you want to serve them. Like some or the other, you know, you try to, you know, hide all your wrong things. No, you just want to make them happy, right? So by that, you will end up, you know, getting purified. So like, for example, now my dad is like, you know, typical materialist, we can say like that. But then he is very attached to me. And now they are doing so much, like, you know, he has no other things he could do, like job, everything. What they do is my dad cuts vegetables and helps my mom clean, all those things. Such menial service, actually. So I was telling Prabhu, like, at the end of 3 months, because of helping us so much, they'll make so much spiritual benefit for them. So because somehow we are connected.
So the, I mean, you say attachment of devotee. So, but what about the, you know, the guru
even
and the
so
disciple relationship? Is that an attachment?
Yeah, that's also spiritual. Of course, that could also be in mundane way. Like, for example, you know, I like my guru's physical look or whatever. You know, I like that. That could also be in a material way.
Okay.
But you could also be attached to your spiritual master in a spiritual way, because you know he is training you in Krishna consciousness. So you want to please him by taking his instructions as your life and soul. That's how you show your attachment.
But I'm sorry to interject there. But Krishna was saying to Arjuna, who is a devotee, that you should not worry about your kith and kin, because they are very attached to him. So I'm not able to.
But Arjuna is attached in a material way, no?
Okay.
He's thinking it's
material.
My body, you know,
my family,
my
friends. But then your father is attached to you in a more material way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, but still,
you will get
because it's devotee.
Okay.
You will get purified.
Like
maybe
example,
like it's a first stage and
exactly.
And it's a like they're running towards next stage.
See, for example, Krishna also we can approach in so
step
many ways.
Step, yeah.
We are not really purely attached to Krishna in a pure way, right? Mm. We have give and take policies. We do because, you know, I want peace of mind, or, you know, I have some distress, right? So many things. But somehow or the other, we are attached to Krishna. What will happen if you get attached to Krishna? Because Krishna is pure, we get purified. That's what happens. So the devotee is trying to become pure. So if you are attached to devotee, the devotee will try all somehow or the other to bring you closer to Krishna.
Mm.
They will not manipulate, right? See, for example, we won't ever try to give something to our parents which will make them go further away. Like, for example, you know, my dad likes to eat non-veg. So we try as much as possible to avoid. Rather than, you know, okay, give chance all everywhere, you know. Of course, you should balance so that, you know, he doesn't get too frustrated or whatever. But, so we will
That's
be more conscious.
He used to eat sometimes. Huh? But
yeah.
Now, next last 5 months, he has just...
Yeah.
So we will be so conscious not to take them further away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. And by being close to us and serving us, they come closer to Krishna. It will come after many years, the results will come back to them. When they're ready to take the message. See, now he's not ready. He's not looking for anything. So whatever I say, you know, so I give this, I give that.
Jigyasa is not there.
Exactly. He says, oh, what is there in that? This kid's literature, this, that. That's what he says. But when he's ready, you know, when some misery comes in his life, when he's like, oh, what is it in my life? Then everything starts coming.
No, I can really, because, you know, it's almost 10 days because we are staying right together.
Adjusted so much.
We can see how much attachment, you know, the sense of achievement he has. Because, of course, he has grown from, you know, very poor family.
He says
he's a self-made,
man-made.
He says always, you know, I'm
self-made.
A self-made, very
independent person.
Very independent. Because he struggled and he came.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. So, because still he works and he gets money, everything. So, he thinks he's independent.
So, you can see he is jobless and, you know, waste of time.
So,
he believes in God. Or is an atheist?
No, he believes in God.
He says
God.
He believes.
That's what. I mean, that might be
right.
One of the things, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's
my parents are like,
no, he
believes
in
God.
God.
They also
no.
start, so you start diverting them that, hey, you know.
No, any place he goes, like he visits Bhuneshwar and all, whenever he goes to Bhuneshwar, Tirupati and all, for temple is for sure.
Okay.
He makes sure he visits temple. Okay. It's there. But he believes in, you know, work.
Work is worship.
Work is worship.
Oh.
He believes in that.
Karma yoga.
He believes in that. Work is worship. Until, you know, they have that strong strength or strength to carry.
They have become weak.
They want to work.
But he has so much chance here. Like, you know, I gave all the articles written by Ariel Asru to read. But he doesn't touch. He knows exactly. He doesn't touch.
Yeah, but association really works. Because I have like live example. My sister came here for like 4 weeks. And she came temple just 2 weeks here, only 15 days. And she did whatever service she got it in weekday. Because weekdays nobody comes here. So she used to come in the morning and go to kitchen and do little service in weekdays. And as soon as she went to India, because before coming here, she was like perfect material example, like normal people, those are coming from India. And now she's
normal
doing
people.
Like, now she's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
She's
taking
chanting a lot of around like 8 or something.
Oh,
and
wow.
Very nice.
Taking
yeah.
all the classes in Delhi is Khan. So I can see the spark, like
yeah,
just
yeah.
one spark.
Yeah, that's why we should, I mean, there should be some amount of pious credit on that person's.
Like she's chanting more than me. So in like shortest she's crossed.
No, she is pious.
Very pious.
Competing with
so I'm like I'm able to correlate your example. Like your father came here and they're getting that knowledge. So we don't know like
it's a miracle if it happens like that, but I don't hope so. But
they can help in service and all, right? That if you're so near and there's so much of activity that's happening here.
See, that's why some
which is like one of the
we need, you know, that person should be at least something.
Looking for,
He's so bored, he's so restless. But he doesn't want to invest time in these ways.
Reading,
it's there,
or,
it's ruled out.
Thing. He doesn't.
I can understand. Reading and all like comes later. I think you know.
No, I can understand. Yeah, this suppose where he's coming from, I can understand very clearly.
But I can
it
see
takes some time.
Anything is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why
Krishna
only
has the timing.
Of
I mean,
course,
he has all figured out,
yeah,
right?
So that's why
we are praying. Only thing is prayer.
Yeah.
Nityananda Prabhu especially is very merciful to most fallen persons who are not at all qualified. He makes them qualified. So I'm
that's
praying
true.
To him to somehow, you know, bring them closer to his lotus feet. So. So if we are in that relationship with them, then we are acting spiritually. Not like, you know, my father, my mother, okay, they will help me as much and I don't care after that what happens. But if we are concerned about their soul, you know, what happens to them, then at least, you know, to that extent, we are acting spiritually.
Yeah, so what I wanted to bring out, the practical for us is in the, from the text 44. Although we are, you know, some kind of subtle way or gross way, we fall in these two categories. But the Krishna consciousness process is so powerful, it slowly, gradually, it purifies us. And Prabhupada gives example of sun, right? He compares Krishna with the sun. How the sun, right, when it comes, it doesn't differentiate, you know, whether it's, you know, stool or urine or anything. It doesn't. It completely dries. It purifies the place. Right? In India, that's what it is. Sun only it actually places. So Krishna is like that, but he doesn't get affected. That also we should know, right? Sun doesn't get affected. So same thing, the process Krishna is like that. He's so powerful. Slowly we are like, you know, so much of anarthas and all. Slowly, gradually, it will be purified. That's the thing
so
for
that's
us.
So that's our process, not about, you know, giving up things. It's about bringing in Krishna.
That's so.
Become attached to Krishna, then automatically you'll become detached from material things. That's the main point.
Yeah. At least that's a practical thing. So, okay, let's go to text 45. So it's I think 45 and 46 still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vedas.
46
only.
Are Vedas. Yeah.
Okay, let's recite 45. Text 45.
So 45 is about the how to overcome these obstacles. Now, what advice Krishna is giving to Arjuna? Because these obstacles, right? Sense enjoyment, material, and opulence. These are the ones which can destroy the determination, right? So Krishna is giving an advice to Arjuna how one should act in a way that you don't get bewildered by these things. So that's the solution Krishna is giving next.
Okay, let's recite. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtraigunya Bhava Arjuna Nirvando Nitya Sattvasto Nirnyoga Kshema Atmavan Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvando Nitya Sattvasto Nirnyoga Kshema Atmavan.
The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties of gain and safety, and be established in the self.
The solution Krishna gives. What's the solution Krishna gives?
To be free from the dualities.
To become transcendental.
Become transcendental to three modes. What are those three modes?
Tamoguna, Rajaguna,
Sattvaguna. Goodness, passion.
You missed the good one.
Mode of goodness, passion.
Passion,
and mode of goodness.
Most of
passion.
Ignorance, passion, and goodness.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
To become transcendental to these three, what does transcendental to three modes mean? As in, to be above of three modes, is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're not under the influence of those three.
Not get affected. Oh, okay.
Let's see what it, yeah.
Purport. All material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results, which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane.
Okay, we can. So here we are, Prabhupada is clearly, you know, is very, you know, very nicely clarifying things. The Vedas deal mostly with the with fruity activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sensuality to position in the transcendental plane. So we should, at this point, we should realize what we have got, what treasure we have in our hand actually, right? The Krishna consciousness, it's a treasure, because we don't have to do experiment. This already is experimented and Prabhupada is giving the knowledge. So we don't have to, you know, again, if somebody says, you know, let's hear Vedas or let's, you know, do some puja related to Vedas and all, you can ignore. You don't need, because you got something much more valuable than that, right? That's what it is. We can take it. Yeah. Yes.
Arjuna, as a student and friend of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahma Jigyasa, or questions on the supreme transcendence. All the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely the Karma Kanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas, as the Bhagavad Gita is part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. The Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life.
See, this one, right, we can understand, if you follow the Vedas, it takes many lifetimes, right? It's not just, you cannot achieve everything in the same, right? This life itself we cannot achieve, because it's a gradual progression. Then once you do Karma Kanda process, then you have to go to Upanishads, right? So it's a step by step, like, you know, we compared that to staircase. It's like, you know, climbing the staircase. So it takes many lifetimes, and we don't even know, right, how many, why you have to come back. So that's why Prabhupada says just in this one life, because we have already gone through so many lives, no, different, maybe different forms of living entities, but why don't we just spend this one life to Krishna? Just give one life and try. That's what Prabhupada's main thing. Let's take the elevator process instead of going through the staircase process. And also Prabhupada says all living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. Is it true? Does it apply to all of us? Right? Every day. It's, nobody can deny this statement.
Not even for everyone, all the living
entities. No, everybody. Everyone of us.
Like
all the living entities in the material world, they survive.
It's by design, right?
It's by design. We have to struggle every day. It's, nobody can tell I'm happy or, you know. Nobody, I don't think, you know. But anyway, it's by design. So you don't have to discuss. Okay.
So just round. So we are saying that the Vedas basically they give you how to move away from, you know, this material entanglement to a plane, transcendental plane.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But then how to continue on that plane is basically the Upanishads.
Yes.
Is that what
the next level. Yeah, that's true. That's the next one. Prabhupada is saying, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads. Yes.
Okay. But Upanishads also is part of Vedas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, everything is Veda.
So
see, the Veda is means complete knowledge. That's what the Veda means. Yeah.
But most of it is Karma Kanda.
Yeah, most of
so
it.
After Karma Kanda is over, then you know this Jignasa starts.
That's
then they will go into the Upanishads, which is the philosophical part of Vedas. But that is just, you know, 1% or 10-5%.
That's why Prabhupada is saying Vedas deal mostly with that, but of course the remaining part is spiritual part. How could we say something?
Yeah, it says which is part of different Vedas. So different than four Vedas or?
Which are part of
different Vedas. Yeah.
Fifth
different
Veda.
Vedas means four Vedas. Yeah. Part of the Vedas.
No,
they are calling Mahabharata as fifth Veda. See?
Yeah.
As Bhagavad Gita is part of fifth Veda, namely Mahabharata. Mahabharata is considered fifth Veda.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita is Gita Upanishad.
Mm. So all the like Atharva, Yajur and all, they have Upanishads. Whereas Mahabharata has like then the
we don't know that chart was there. No?
There is a hierarchy of Veda and Upanishad.
Yeah, that chart was there. No,
I think we have been
we discussed in introduction.
Slide.
Yeah, introduction we had one slide.
Yeah.
Upanishad is a subset of Vedas.
Yeah.
The whole knowledge, all the knowledge is Vedas.
Okay.
Most of it is Karmakanda, like other, which is about fruitive activities, everything. Other part is philosophical part of how to attain supreme.
That is called
that is Upanishads. Yeah.
Yeah, because very rare, right? The people take into spiritual progress immediately. Mm. It's very rare we would take immediately to spiritual path. Right? Even if you go around this world, right? You find even if you count people who really follow strictly the spiritual path, it's very less compared to 7 billion people. So like that also, Vedas is mostly, most of it is Karmakanda, just little bit is spiritual. Yeah, nice. Okay, we can read that.
Okay. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities, such as happiness and distress, cold and warm, and by tolerating such dualities become free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna.
So again here Krishna is repeating the Radha Prabhupada is reiterating Krishna's instruction, right? That's the first instruction Krishna gave to Arjuna about tolerance, right? Which verse is that?
2.16.
Matra sparsha kuru sakho. Matra sparsha sushu konteya. Sitoshna sukha dukkada. Agama payinu nitya stitiksha
swabharata. That is just after the memorization verse, right?
Hmm.
Isn't
yeah.
it?
Dehi nos. So that
Dehi nos means
yeah.
2.14. So
that's
2.14.
That's the first instruction.
Yeah.
King Krishna gives to Arjuna. While in this world, there will be, happiness and distress will come as if like winter and summer seasons. So you just have to tolerate that. Because that feeling is coming because of sense perception. Because senses are in touch with the sense objects. But just tolerate them and without being disturbed. The same thing is coming here. Prabhupada is saying one should tolerate all these dualities. Happiness, distress, cold and warm. Then one becomes free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. See, because if you don't tolerate, we feel, happiness means there is some gain. Distress means there is some loss. Right? So we will be entangled in gain and loss. But if at all we tolerate, that means whatever happens, we are going to stay, remain fixed. Then we can also become free from anxieties of gain and loss. And then the solution is how we can achieve that. Position of neutrality or equanimity is what's the solution? How should one
in full
what
Krishna
should be one position? Yeah. Full Krishna consciousness and when one is fully dependent on goodwill of Krishna. So that person only can be equipoised. It's a fully Krishna conscious person.
So one has to tolerate the dualities, right?
Yeah.
So does it mean that you... I'm not just trying to understand what does it exactly mean. Does it mean that, okay, if I'm happy, I'm happy. If I'm sad, I'm sad. I mean, or not to kind of react to it. Because what does reacting mean? I mean, I should not be very sad and should not be so obsessed with, I've become so happy that it...
So, basically one exhibition is we don't get too elated when we get material happiness. or too sad when we get material, you know, distress. But the way we exhibit it, or the way we can measure it, rather to ourselves, we want to see, let's say, we want to see, am I really tolerating this? Or if you want to see, am I really transcending this? The way to test is, are we fixed in our service when such situations happen? Let's say suddenly today I get promotion. Today is Friday, I got promotion. Then I want to celebrate. Today evening I'll tell my wife, okay, let's not go to Bhagavad-gita class. No, let's go to a movie and enjoy. So then, now I got some material happiness. I got overwhelmed by it. And I lost my service to Krishna. So then I am getting affected by material happiness. Let's say, but other day, I get my review and I got, you know, very low score.
I'll definitely come.
Then, we will say, oh no, today I am depressed. I am depressed, I don't want to go here. Maybe, you know, I want to watch a movie at home, or let's go eat outside,
yeah,
or
just
something.
Just sit at home, forget.
So then we are affected by distress now. That is affecting our service to Krishna. Right? So then we are now, basically now modes are acting on us.
Mm-hmm.
These dualities are influencing us and they are disturbing our service to Krishna. So that's how we practically measure. Like despite, like for example, my dad was asking other day. We'll try to go in morning as much as possible because I don't know how long I'll go. I want to do until I can go. So then suddenly he asked a question. So in winter also do you go? See,
winter,
so that in winter people know it's even more difficult, right, to get up and go everything. I said, yeah, we try to go. So then in summer or winter, can you continue your service? Right? So that's where, you know, when you at least try that, you'll gradually raise above. That's what means raising above means. These things will no longer affect you. Whether it is or that, you continue your service.
So when we moved closer to this temple, I think this was in 2007 or 8, right, when this opened. So she wanted to go to Mangalarati. No, every day she wanted to come to Mangalarati. Then I was not really, you know, winter means here really it gets cold, right? It's, and you know, you need to turn on the car for a few minutes until, you know, your wife gets cleared and all. So she used to wake me up, let's go to Mangalarati. And here in this temple, not many people come to Mangalarati. Now at least we see one or two people coming. But before, it's me, her and Bhajavan Prabhu who is doing puja. That's all. So then I used to tell her why we have to go today, you know, we'll go next day, or, you know, like that. I used to kind of, you know, do that, what did they say?
Procrastination.
I used to tell her, you know, we'll go one day, like, you know, next day, like that. Then slowly she used to push me. You know, we have to go. That's the reason we came here, actually. Mainly we moved close to temple. Then after some time, I got the taste. I mean, slowly going every day. Then now,
yeah, it was a struggle for a year or so, you know, to balance our sleep. We'll be sleepy at work and so many things. But somehow, you know, through that struggle, Krishna tests us, and then he gives us strength.
Yeah.
Now we have so much liking, actually. Like, that's why even now I'm trying to go.
So now we cannot miss. If you miss something, old day you thought, you know, why did I miss? It's a very rare opportunity.
Yeah.
At least living close to temple, and if you don't use it, you will miss it, opportunity. And 1 second loss, even if you pay $1 million, you will not get it. That, you know, we know that. Once you lose the moment, it's gone. It's already... So like that, yeah. So raising above or tolerating, yeah.
Even a couple of weeks back, Nariplas Prabhu gave lecture, and there was one example, not example, the same context, the tolerance. Prabhu said, whatever will happen, if we will consider as a mercy of Lord, then we can tolerate that very easily.
So in the transcendental plane, there are still the dualities.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Because you will be in the material.
Yes.
Course,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
But it's just that
just
the way you react to it and will change.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
Because
yeah, your focus is on that. So, you know, fully Krishna conscious person can do it.
That's when Gavaisayat Mika.
Exactly.
Yes.
So,
that's
how can. Okay, let's analyze this. How can a fully Krishna conscious person only demonstrate this behavior? Only. Why Prabhupada is saying only a fully Krishna conscious person who is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna, only that person can tolerate the dualities? How is it? I know. How do we understand that? Why a fully Krishna conscious person can do it?
Because he knows this is not real, or he's not attached to material things. whether it is good or bad doesn't make any difference to the soul.
And everything is happening because of the Krishna's will. So it's one way.
So the fully Krishna conscious person is so attached to Krishna that he doesn't want to let go of service to Krishna despite any material inabilities. That's the point. So our strength is coming from our attachment to Krishna. It's not like, you know, oh, on my own, you know, I'm going to tolerate cold or tolerate warmth. Doesn't work. But if you are attached to Krishna, you'll get the strength. You know, I just want to see Krishna. I want to go, you know, see Radha Nilamada's lotus feet. That is there, that strength is so easy. It's easy. It just pulls you. So this fully Krishna conscious person is so much attached to Krishna that he just don't want to lose any of his service. Irrespective of whatever happens here, he's just, you know, floating there above.
Yeah, if you're like very passionate about something now, here also, right? Like you really want to go and watch that game. So
yeah,
you're driving fast. So what is happening in the road, you just don't care about, right?
Yeah.
There might be this bomb explosion also, but no, I have to go, I'm running late. So that's how.
I know. In Seattle, when I come, right? For the game, the traffic will be like hell.
Very,
yes.
Very bad.
They make sure they have to go to the game, whatever. You don't care about, you know, other getting stuck or. And the other thing, very important thing here is in the translation itself, Prabhupada is translating, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety and be established in the self. So what does that mean, established in the self? So established
soul,
in the self
means
so we have to realize that we are the part and parcel of the Supreme.
Spiritually situated.
We are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Like we are the eternal servant. So that's our the identity, that's our real identity. That we are, you know, part and parcel and the eternal servant of Krishna. And we know the example of, you know, like hands or, you know, legs and all, if you take. So they can be independent. If they try to act independently, what happens to them? Like ants, legs, right? There is a small analogy, I think. So one time, you know, all the ants and legs, you know, they thought we are not getting the food. Only tummy gets everything, right? It takes everything, whatever you eat. So they planned, you know, that like let's have a strike. So let's not feed anything to the tummy. So then they decided and they didn't do anything. They were all, you know, quiet strike. So one day, say 2 day, 3 day, what happens later?
They'll become weak and then they will wither.
So they will only suffer. So 1 day, 2 day, everything starts weak, because there is no food, right? And energy is not getting. Stomach is the one which gives us strength to everything, energy, right? Distribute. So then they realize, you know, we have to be part and parcel of the tummy. So when we cooperate and work, then you will be happy too. Like, so same thing, we are part and parcel, like legs, hands. So we know Krishna is the Supreme. So when we help him, he doesn't, of course, he doesn't need our help, but if we be situated in the transcendental the position or be established in the self, that's what. Once you realize that, then you will automatically, you will become happy. That's the point.
And here they also mentioned safety. What is the difference of safety?
Anxiety is for gain and safety.
Yeah, because you know why? The safety, dualities and free. Free from dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety. What's the most
strongest instinct?
For
instinct
safety.
Of a human being. Instinct, or what's the right word? Instinct. What's
most
the predominant? Yeah, predominant.
Instinct
only, right? Yeah, I think I don't know that's the right word I'm getting, but yeah. So the safety, basically fear. So everybody, you know, we always look for safety. That's the predominant.
There are four.
Maybe it's an
yeah,
old
one.
For condition, see, it souls, they need
to
four things, right?
Purport.
What are they?
Oh, safety, very from. Sorry.
What are the four?
Eat. Sleep, mate, and.
Defend.
So defend is safety.
Among
so
the four, strongest
yeah.
is defend.
The strongest is the defend. So we always, you know.
When somebody attacks, we'll give up all the other three.
Yeah,
right?
Naturally.
Eating, sleeping, mating will stop.
No,
but
yeah.
Then we'll defend.
No,
yeah,
and Prabhupada says that's why all the nations, they spend most of the money on
defending
defense to protect their countries.
But who will attack? See, for example, US, I don't know, maybe the situation, maybe this thing, but who can attack US? Generally, if you see, nobody can attack, but still they spend billions of dollars to protect themselves because they're always worried that somebody will attack. So that comes out, that's a prominent among the four.
But India has one of the largest army. Like China has the largest, Russia has the second.
Yeah, that's the safety. Everybody, you know, we are always, we are also, you know, until we become really Krishna consciousness, of course, for I can talk more, for I'm always, we'll have that fear, right, all the time. What will happen to the family, or in India, you'll be thinking about in India. What will happen to my sister? No, it's there in the corner of the mind. We cannot avoid. But once you become Krishna consciousness, once you understand that everybody is part and parcel of Krishna, and we really don't belong to this place, then you can be relieved of all this. That's why Prabhupada says, you know, you can really experience Krishna consciousness once you get out of all this, fear, like, you know, you become basically pure. Once you give up all this, you know, external attachments, then you can really release Krishna consciousness. You will become really joyful. It's a long way to go.
So for safety means, when we are using this word, so it means we should depend for the safety as well on Krishna. So
yeah, Krishna will protect.
Krishna is
the
one maintainer.
So if you understand, I think
there are six aspects of surrender, or six symptoms of surrender. No, I don't remember all of them, but one of them is that Krishna is my only maintainer. That's one of the symptoms of surrender, actually.
So if you're fully surrendered,
you
will realize all the six. I remember only two now. You know, he's the only maintainer. You will completely realize that. Not theoretically, practically you realize he's the only maintainer. And you realize he is the only protector. Nobody else can protect you.
Mm.
Only Krishna. The other three, I don't know, three or four. Maintainer, protector.
The other one is humility.
Yeah, I think I have noted down these.
Okay, let's go. 46?
Can we cover this? It's a big question.
We'll read this.
All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them.
Okay, let's understand this translation. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? So they're small wells. They have some purpose to be served.
Like,
Prabhu was telling, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur analyzed this and said, in olden India, there is one well for washing clothes, there is one well for drinking water.
No, same well. They use it for different purposes.
I will show you.
No.
No, I'll tell you, wait. So, like that he told.
But that was in
wells.
Our village, that's how we used to use.
Yeah.
One
but
well.
Maybe
well,
in even more olden days, there are different wells for different purposes. But then, if you have a lake of water with fresh, clean water running all the time, you can do all the things just with that lake. Like cleaning, washing, drinking, everything. So that's what. So purpose served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water.
So instead of going to
each one,
mm-hmm. if you just go to the
go
lake,
go to the one main
water.
Thing, it will serve all the purposes. So similarly, all the purposes of Vedas can be served by to one who has known the purpose behind him.
Mm.
So what is the purpose behind the Vedas?
To elevate you from the fruit.
15:15.
Should remember that.
What is purpose behind the Vedas, or the goal of Vedas?
To
know Krishna, right?
Krishna.
Goal of Vedas is to know Krishna. So who knows the purpose behind them means a person who knows that Krishna is the goal of Vedas and is serving Krishna. Right? That person knows first purpose behind the Vedas. Right? For that purpose, for that person, all other purposes of the Vedas are already served. Because he is already addressing the goal. So small, small things about Vedas, you know, doing karma kanda, all these things are already fulfilled for him. It's like small wells. He's already at the lake. Right?
He already knows the root cause.
He already knows, he's already at the goal. So he, all the purposes of the Vedas is served. So he doesn't have to invest in those things. That's what Krishna is giving an analogy to make us understand that one who is fully Krishna conscious, essentially he already satisfies the requirements of Vedas, we can say like that. He is beyond the Vedas. I mean, in the sense, beyond the karmakanda portion of the Vedas. Yeah, so that's because Prabhupada doesn't elaborate this specific verse in the purport, so we just commented on that and then we'll discuss the purport.
Yes.
Purport. The rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakanda division of the Vedic literature are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15:15. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with Him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15:7. The living entities are parts and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge.
Okay, so that's what Prabhupada actually really answered that, right? He answered the second part of it. All the purposes of Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind it. So the purpose of the Vedas is to gradually elevate one to self-realization, right? But a person who is already, you know, practicing self-realization and he knows Krishna and he knows his relationship with Krishna, that person is already highest perfection stage of Vedic knowledge. It's either you gradually go, come to that, or if somebody gives a shortcut as Prabhu is selling, and directly get Krishna and know that, you know, I'm part of the parcel of Krishna and serve Krishna, then automatically we fulfill all the requirements of Vedas.
This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 33 or 7 O my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a
chandal
dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family.
Wow, it's so
much.
So you see the example here? You see how it is, how you are.
So just a person, even if it's chandala, dog eater, is born in the dog eater family, but he was chanting the holy name, then he has already fulfilled all the penances, sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. Actually, this is what Prabhupada did, right? He came to United States and he elevated all, you know, the hippies, right? who were into all this intoxication, four kinds of illicit activities, into Krishna conscious persons, into Brahmanas. Actually, he gave them Brahmanical initiation. So when he took them back to India, all the caste Brahmanas, in India the culture is like you have to be born in a Brahmana family to become a Brahmana. So then they criticized Prabhupada. How is it possible, you know, these Americans, how can they be Brahmanas? So, but Prabhupada knows the philosophy. It's like, you know, anybody by training can be elevated to mode of goodness. Training and initiation.
It's by
and they are already chanting the holy name, which is the highest perfectional stage, according to this verse. So, you know, what is the problem?
So, one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals. Nor is it possible to study all of the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge and resources to execute the purposes of the Vedas. This is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls.
You can pause there, Prabhu. So this part of the purport, Prabhupada is telling now how, you know, whether it's practical or not to even attempt to follow Vedas. So Prabhupada is clearly telling, you know, it's very difficult, takes a lot of time, energy, knowledge, resources, even to attempt to follow Vedas properly.
You all remember, like, you know, in India also, here also, when you call somebody who does all this ritual process, if they come, they recite so fast. Most of the time, they won't know. Means it's kind of, they practice it. They do it. Otherwise, we won't be able to understand. The people who, you know, we are sitting in the puja, we will not be able to understand the way they recite. Because we don't have time. First of all, Prabhupada is saying, we don't have time. Nobody has patience to sit and ask that pujari to, you know, explain the whole thing. No, who has time? Nobody has time. And of course, he says all the resources. We don't have the resources also, because we have to use, you know, all that pancha or something. You know, we need to use a lot of resources to perform yajna and all. So that's why Prabhupada is clearly saying, you know, nobody has time, energy, knowledge, and it's not practical to do it.
So then what is the practical way in this age?
And he's giving the practical.
What's the practical way?
Chanting
the holy name is the one Lord Chaitanya recommends. And then he gives the example of Lord Chaitanya. That's what we can read next.
When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar,
Prakasananda Saraswati,
why the Lord was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism.
Why it's mysticism?
Guhyata, is that word?
Yeah, it's like, you know, Vedas, it's so spread out, right? Nobody can understand actually Vedas.
It's revealed knowledge, right?
Yeah, it's all came to revealed knowledge, and you know.
But
See, this itself it clarifies, you know, so many practical points here, right? First, we understood we don't have time or anything to do. Who has time to sit, you know, do all the ignas, all those things. Then the next one is Lord Chaitanya's example himself, like Prabhupada is pointing, because this is what happened. So all the Varanasi, so once all this Prakashananda Saraswati was a big, like a guru, or a sannyasi, he was a sannyasi, big sannyasi, impersonal sannyasi. So they were gathering, you know, he had thousands of disciples, all big Vedantists. They are completely into knowledge, Vedanta, right? They knew everything. So they were all sitting in, you know, the Istagosti. They had Istagosti. Then Chaitanya Prabhu came. He was traveling around the Varanasi. Then he was going South India. So they came to the assembly. Then he sat down, you know, close to, like where they leave all the shoes, slippers and all, right? He sat down there. But the purpose this impersonalist do is to get attracted to the Brahma Jyoti. That's what their goal, right? They want to go to the Brahma Jyoti, effulgence. They want to merge into the effulgence. Then Chaitanya Prabhu was sitting near, we know where they leave the slippers and all. He was sitting there and he was chanting.
That's and he what was glowing because he is Lord, right?
He is Lord and he knows, you know, what their goal. So he showed that potency.
Effulgence.
He became effulgent. Then immediately the Prakashan and the Saraswati Thakur, everybody got down and they came and they told, no, it looks like you are a sannyasi. No, so you should come and join with us. Then Chaitanya Prabhu told, you know, I'm not qualified to sit with all of you. And the only thing he did was, the Saraswati, Prakashananda Saraswati, he took Chaitanya Prabhu's hand, he took him and he made sit beside him.
Mm-hmm.
He did that service. Because of that, he got purified and he got attracted to the bhakti, pure devotional service. He gave up the impersonalist the path and he joined the bhakti yoga. Then all his disciples automatically, of course they had a discussion,
mm-hmm.
you know, they had a discussion on philosophy and all, everybody was convinced, then they gave up their impersonal path and they all joined. And
that's where he asked, Saraswati asked,
yeah, why
you
are chanting?
Prabhu, why you're chanting, they think chanting is a sentimental thing,
mm-hmm.
because there is no knowledge philosophy involved,
wow.
just chant and dance on the road.
That's what many times, you know,
they
criticize
our ISKCON also
like that. Like many times they say, no, I'm pretty sure many of you would have heard, instead of chanting 2 hours, you can earn a lot of money. See, every day we spend 2 hours for chanting. So many people will point out, if you tell anybody, you know, who was real, like for example, sorry, I have to use your dad's name. If you tell him chanting, he says, why, you know, so much
wasting two hours
of time? You could be working, or, you know, you can make more money. That's how they, you know, they come from. That's their view. Yeah, so Prabhupada is clarifying that, you know, he's giving example. So chanting, because we cannot understand Vedanta philosophy, you know, we are so short memory. Memory is also getting weak and...
So then his Guru Chaitanya says, Guru Maharaj found in me to be a great fool, that I cannot understand Vedanta philosophy. He just told, okay, you chant.
Hmm.
So I chanted, and but what's the result? I became ecstatic in love for Krishna. See, that itself shows which is a potent process. You keep researching, talking about Vedanta philosophy for years, lifetimes.
Yeah.
Nothing happens, it's just dry philosophy. But here I am chanting the holy name and I'm happy and, you know, I'm in ecstasy in love with Krishna. So that's why a Prabhupada says that is the practical thing, because we are all fools. We are also fools. Like, of course, you know, he is not telling Lord Chaitanya is a fool, but he's telling we are all fools. So, you know, for us also, there is nothing better than chanting the holy name.
So, how do we know, because we are all chanting, you know, whatever rounds we can do, so how do we know we are making progress? It's really helping us. How can we know it's really helping us? Maybe we should be studying, you know, lot of scriptures or doing more, you know, yajna, all those things. So how do we know it's really helping us? How do we know we are making spiritual advancement?
A material life should come down.
It's inversely proportional.
It's inversely proportional, yeah. So your material desires or anything, it's like one, it's not the weighing scale. So the more you add on the spiritual scale, the other one will go down.
If you are getting involved in the material enjoyment and attachment, if you are getting involved more, means
So what are the other, you know, to which you can see, or you know, you can perceive things? So basically,
attitude towards others will change.
Yeah, that's the qualities, right? You develop all good qualities. You know, whatever we know as a devotees, there are a lot of good qualities. We'll discuss. There is a list of. So slowly, you will be gradually you developing all those qualities, good qualities. So especially, you know, with relationship with your friends, family, everything will become so smooth. You will never disturb. You will never get disturbed. You will be much more peaceful. You can handle things, you know, much more nicer way. You know, instead before, you know, you getting disturbed any small situations, all those things, you will handle nicely. You will never get disturbed. And Prabhupada uses analogy like, you know, so basically we cannot measure, right? It's very difficult to measure our progress. So he gives example of, you know, once the flight takes off, once you are in a flight, you even if you see one no, right? It seems it's static, right? Yeah, I don't know whether you all noticed.
Yes, yeah.
You see, look here and there, you don't know whether it's moving.
Moving.
But you are reaching your destination. After a few hours, you'll be in different destination. You'll be going.
So
you
should be on the flight rather than the boat, because boat is anchored.
So you know, so we should know that, you know, even though we may not pursue a lot of things whether you are making, but the chanting is so potent, slowly gradually it's working inside, because it's clearing dirt inside. We don't know how much dirt we have, so it's cleansing. So we are making advancement. So that's the, and of course you can pursue a lot of things.
So this is real poetry, right? Last four lines. The Vedanta is the last word in the Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. This is also saying 15:15. Krishna says, "I am the compiler of the Vedas, and I am the knower of the Vedas." So, compiler of Vedas is Vyasadeva, which is nothing but Lord Krishna, Lord's incarnation, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Means Krishna knows the Vedas, and he's also goal of Vedas. And then, and the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that means one who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord already is perfect in Vedanta philosophy. Even though he may not explain literally, you know, what it is, but he already got the essence. That is the ultimate purpose of the Vedic mysticism. Ultimate purpose of Vedas is to know Krishna, right? So he's already chanting the holy name of Krishna. So he already got the goal.
This is not the Vedic philosophy. This is a Vedanta philosophy. Because
yeah.
Vedanta means at the end of the Vedas.
Yeah.
Are they different to Gita?
Different to Gita?
As in referring to Gita. Because there we said, right, that Vedas will take you as much, and then there is
Upanishads.
And
Vedanta.
Why do they call it Vedanta? Why not Vedas? Vedic philosophy.
Yeah. Purpose of Vedanta. It's, I think, same.
The
Vedanta is referring to as Vedas only. Because see, if you look at translation, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows purpose behind him, right? Behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he's referring Vedanta philosophy as, you know, the, all the Vedas. Yeah. And if you look at 15:15 translation, there Krishna says, I'm the compiler of the Vedas. He doesn't say Vedanta. So it's a different
term. All the wisdom of Vedas is basically provided in Gita, isn't it? Which is an Upanishad or Gita Upanishad, which is the, that's why it's called Vedanta, because it appears after the Vedas.
See, Vedanta.
So Vedanta refers to, here is referring to all Vedas.
Yeah, so Vedas is, I'm reading the meanings in the back side, it's there. So Vedas is basically the four original scriptures, Rig, Sama, Atharva and Yajur. Vedanta Sutra, the philosophical treatise written by Vyasadeva, consisting of a certain aphorisms that embody the essential meaning of the Upanishad. Basically, it's like, you know, the essence, the milk, you know, you take the, I think that's kind of a more concise aphorism. Basically, you take something, aphorism, then you expand that. I think that's what it is. Vedanta Sutra is like, yeah.
Oh, see, if you look at 15:15, Krishna says, I'm seated in everyone's heart and from me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all Vedas, I am to be known. Okay, so the goal of Vedas is to know Krishna. Indeed, I am compiler of Vedanta. So, Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta. That's what Prabhu read, right?
Mm.
Vyasadeva wrote
compiled,
aphorism. Like they are like, you know, janmadi asya yataha.
You can expand that.
That one, and you know, atato, what is the other famous
atato
ones? Atato Brahma Jignasa. These are like code words, which has like deep meaning and understanding behind them. So those words can be interpreted in different way. So this Vedanta philosophy has been commented by Mayavadis like Shankaracharya. So he wrote his own Shankara Bhashya, which is the explanation of this Vedanta philosophy. And the conclusion is simple impersonalism, Mayavadi. But same Vedanta philosophy, commentation is Srimad Bhagavatam. Elaboration of this Vedanta philosophy. And that conclusion is pure devotion service to Krishna.
I think we I think that first in introduction we discussed that slide, right?
Yeah.
The scripture, I think it's part of all that, how it's divided, you know, yeah, all the right. Scripture.
Okay, so Vedanta,
it's too much, yeah. You don't.
Okay, so Vedanta is the essence of all Vedic wisdom in the form of aphorisms as written by Vyasadeva.
Is there any difference between Veda and Vedanta? No.
No, it's essence of all the Vedas in the form of code words.
Code words.
Code words.
Aphorisms. Yeah.
Some Sanskrit words.
And another question is this highest Vedantist, these two lines I still didn't get. The last two lines.
And the highest Vedantist,
the
is
devotee.
The great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Like who is following in the footsteps. Who is following the...
The individual.
Individual, yeah, it's individual, yeah. Like any devotee, if you take Prahlad Maharaj, all those people.
So those are example of for highest Vedantists.
Yeah, they are already, because they are already following the scripture.
But they didn't go through the Vedic process,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They just started
they took
chanting.
Up the,
yeah.
Like Guru Maharaj.
Like all of us.
Yeah.
It's ultimate purpose. Okay.
Okay, we'll stop here.